Hello, bonjour, and welcome back to La Bonne Heure with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. A little while ago, I sat down with Kenzie Cates, who is a local Canadian musician, and spoke about her inspirations and motivations when making music, but also about her latest single called Just Ain't You. I hope you enjoyed the interview. It was really great getting to chat to her.
So I am chatting to Kenzie Cates. It is lovely to meet you, and thank you so much for coming in to chat with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I thought we could start off with a couple more like fun, I guess, like icebreaker questions just to get us started and to get to know you a little bit more. So the first one is kind of inspired by your latest music video, and I was wondering if you had a favorite art piece or statue.
Wow, I did not see this one coming. A favorite art piece or statue. Yeah, you know what? What's his name? Is it Bill Riley? Is that a person? There's a gallery here in Vancouver, and there's this carver. I think his name is Bill Riley, and I want to Google it, actually. I went to see it last year, and his carvings are so beautiful. He also does a lot of like work with gold and silver, but he also does some like wooden stuff, and he has some that are huge. He has some that are small, but yeah, he's an Indigenous carver here in Vancouver, and his gallery is insane. And walking through it, it's like his piece is almost like bend the time space continuum, like it's like they're moving towards you through the air. Yeah, he's very skilled. That's probably my favorite off the top of my head.
You've mentioned wanting to find your way over to Berlin. Why Berlin specifically?
Berlin is my favorite place that I've ever traveled to in terms of metropolises. I traveled in Europe when I graduated from high school. I did a gap year, as many of us do, and Berlin was one of the first places we went to, and I just loved it. And I always wanted to go back, and I really want to learn German. And it was one of those places that I left being like, this can't be my last experience here. I love this city too much. And I've heard that it's changed quite a lot since I was there, as like most big cities are changed. I feel like the rate of the change of in all big cities is just quick. But I loved how vibrant the like art scene is there. I think it has a really fascinating like political history and intellectual history of like activism and counterculture. I think there are really amazing urban planning things happening there. It's also, I mean, when I was there, it was also like kind of affordable. I don't know if I don't think that's still the case. I think rent has gotten like quite expensive there, but that was something that I really loved about it. And I also like what people are doing there in terms of pop music. Like I also love what people are doing in LA, but besides LA and Nashville, I feel like Berlin is one of the most exciting places for that.
So my last little opening question is, if you could perform the concert of your dreams at any venue in Vancouver, which one would you choose?
The Orpheum is a very beautiful concert hall, a really beautiful venue. But do you know what I haven't been able to road test this because the pandemic happened like immediately after doing it, but right before the pandemic happened, I did a really like intimate show somewhere in Gastown. And there were probably like 10 people there, like just close friends, like really everybody I knew like quite well. And it was sort of to kick off, like I was like, I'm going to start playing. And then the pandemic happened. And obviously that sort of laid waste to that plan of starting to play live more. But I loved the intimacy of it. It felt like being at a sleepover with like all of my best friends. I feel like when I was younger, I definitely dreamed of like huge venues. And now I'm like, I would almost rather in a dream world, like if enough people knew me that I would be able to fill a place like the Orpheum or something like that, it would almost be better to me to do like half full and have multiple nights. So it was like a smaller group of people and there could actually be like conversation. And it's just like, I don't know. I just think it's nice actually being able to like connect with people who are at your show. And I'm sure that there are people who have had experiences where they do feel like they can connect even with like a giant room full of people. But just based on my own experiences, I think a smaller thing just feels like it would be a little bit sweeter. So yeah, maybe that. If I had a magic wand and could do anything, I'd be like the Orpheum half full, multiple nights, same amount of people, but just like spread out over some time so that we could develop a little bit more of a connection between me and the people who are actually there.
I think that is also special for the audience too, because it allows them to connect to you more than, you know, standing at the back of like general admission and like trying to spot you on the stage. So
totally. I went to a concert at the Thunderbird Stadium also right before the pandemic happened. And I remember just being like, I don't even know if I like this. Like, it actually would be probably better if I were just like listening to this in my room, because like, it's just this tiny speck on a stage and it's kind of cool because it's live. So you like hear some songs you wouldn't hear, but it's just like, it feels so, it's just kind of a spectacle, and it's not even great seats to a spectacle. And we weren't in bad seats by any means. We were like on the floor and it was still just like, so I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's odd.
Well, I was wondering how you discovered your passion for music and how you decided that it was something you really wanted to pursue.
It's funny that you bring this up, because over the last 2 days, I've like been overcome with an impulse to rewatch like all the shows I watched in my childhood. So we're talking like Cinderella, we're talking Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And they are very troubling in many ways. Like, the premise for all of them is just like misogyny plus woodland creatures. But I did notice a theme of like singing and song in them. And I was like, huh, I wonder how much of my like obsession with singing my whole life was actually like a Disney ideal of like what a woman is supposed to be or something like that. So that's something I've been questioning over the last few days, but I feel like I've always loved singing. I think when I really started getting into it is when I was like a preteen, in those like terrible, terrible years of the ages, like 8 to 11, where like you're kind of starting puberty and everything's also just feels very intense emotionally, I feel like, at that time. It's like universally just like a tough few years, and music really became an important outlet for me. And it was like, importantly, a very safe space for me. And I think I was sort of in some ways surrounded by chaos in my life, and music and songwriting was like this place that was always there for me, even when everything else was changing and everything else was like, yeah, unreliable or scary or had the potential to hurt me. I always had like music. And so I think that's when it really became like a passion. I don't even know if it was a passion so much as it was like a survival tool. Like, it was really important for coping for me. And then honestly, I feel like I keep trying to quit music. There have been like multiple times where I've been like, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. And then 2 years later, I'm always like, sheepishly like, hey everyone, it's me, I'm back. I'm releasing songs again. But this song, I feel like this is definitely like the first like actual release where I've like really, I think with all my other releases I like one quarter applied myself, so that if it didn't go well I could say that I didn't really try. But with this one I was like, I'm just gonna go full bore. I was considering going to grad school and considering all these other plans, and I was like, before I do any of those, I need to actually try music. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll know that I actually tried and I did like everything that I could. So yeah, it was sort of just like a habit I continue to fail to quit.
For those of you just tuning in, I am currently chatting with Kenzie Cates. Here is her song Black Magic.
You show up unannounced, make your way into my house, slither up the stairs towards my bed. Suddenly I'm taking back those awful things I said. You bewitch me with your silence, cast a spell upon me smiling. This trance is so familiar, but it feels so tragic. This ain't love, it's pure black magic. You got this darkness, boy, and you're trying to pull me in. You got these big brown eyes, and they're beautiful as sin. You draw the girls like flies, buzzing on your sugar skin. You got this darkness, boy. You my true name, I handed you my soul, and you have power over every move I make. Now my rising on your sugar skin. You got this darkness, boy. 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 And you're trying to pull me in. You got these big brown eyes and them beautiful as sin. You draw the girls like flies, buzzing on your sugar skin.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that kind of like 2 year space where you're, you know, trying to quit, but then you show up again. You actually released your last song 2 years ago.
So yeah.
I was wondering what that journey's been like during those past 2 years. Was it one of those moments?
It's been, that's such a good question. I feel like it hasn't been exactly one of those moments, but I definitely, in hindsight, I didn't really want to release the song, and I was feeling a little bit of pressure from like different places and different people to release it despite not really wanting to, for a number of reasons. Mostly just I had written the song when I was quite a bit younger, and by the time we produced it, it didn't really feel like it was me anymore. And then there were sort of a number of circumstantial things in terms of like working partnerships and people who were supporting me that, like, I didn't have to put it out, but it just, like, it would have been like wasting a lot of people's work if I hadn't put it out, not just sort of like the producer who made it. So I put it out and it felt like very bad. Like, releasing music is always, I know for some people, I know it's really like exciting. And for me, it's always something that's like excruciating and feels like torture. And with that song, I felt like sick the whole time. I was like, I like hated posting about it. I hated asking people to listen to it. It was like so unnecessarily painful. I think because I just like, some part of me was like, I just don't feel ready yet. Or like, this doesn't feel like the first song that I want to put out into the world to show people who I am. But I did it anyway. And so in between then and now, there was sort of this period where I was like, okay, that felt really bad. So maybe I don't want to do music. Like, if this very fundamental part of what it means to be a musician, which is releasing music, is this uncomfortable for me, maybe I need to reconsider. And then, like I always do, I was writing songs, and I ended up going to Nashville for a writing trip and sort of deciding in this interim period that I guess that might not have been the song that felt the most me, but like it's out in the world and it put me in a position where I sort of met people that I'm working with now who I love and respect and think are amazing. Not that I didn't love or respect any of the people that I was working with before, but I also didn't know myself that well as an artist. And anyhow, yeah, I think that this sort of interim period just gave me enough space and time to make me like miss making music. And I forgot what releasing was like just enough to feel like I could release again without it being terrible. And this release was definitely like, it was still very stressful and a bunch of things kind of went wrong, but it was more fun also than previous releases had been, because I felt like I was standing alongside so many people, some of whom, you know, like our pal Madonna, who helped out with the music video. And so it was just less scary this time. It felt less like me sticking my neck out and more like I had like a whole team of really amazing people around me.
Do you find that like community and the team that you have to work with really influences how you feel about not only your music itself, but the release process?
100% to both. And I think that that's actually something I learned from the first release, is I was like, I think in my head, I was kind of like, oh, if I just have the right song, then like nothing else matters. It's true to an extent, like it is all about the song, but also your team is who you're interacting with day in and day out. And I made the mistake before of having some people on my team who weren't really excited about what I was doing. Like they didn't hate what I was doing, but they weren't like, wow, I love this song or I love your voice. And I think it's very important for all artists, not just musicians, to like build mutual fan clubs around themselves and like develop strong communities who like really are passionate about what everybody else is doing. Because it's just so hard trying to put art into the world and ask people to care. And so really the only thing you can control is like who you're surrounded with leading up to it. And I've sort of arrived at a point where I'm like, yeah, I really can't control whether or not people are going to like the song or whether or not people are going to like the music video or like me as an artist. But I do get a vote, I guess, in like whether or not I'm making something that I feel excited about and whether my friends like it, like the people that I keep referring to, like this community around me, whether they're excited. And that's really all I can do. So yeah, I think that I don't think it's like incidental. I have started seeing like the team you build and the community you build around me as being like fundamental to the like art creation process. And it just doesn't really seem worth going through all the pain of like, and the vulnerability of releasing if you can't do it alongside people you love. So
you've spoken a little bit about this latest single, which is Just Ain't You. And I was wondering what the like influence and where the inspiration came from for that.
I feel like I've done a few interviews and nobody has asked the question like that. And so I've never given this answer before. So it was a well-asked question. I'm excited to get to think about it. And I guess I was driving home. I was working at Lululemon at the time. I was trying to unionize Lululemon and I failed. And I have since quit Lululemon once I failed. But I was driving home and I was listening to a new Ariana Grande album. And there was like this chord loop playing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this is an experience that other like musicians can relate to. But like, I just heard the chord loop and I just liked it. And I started like thinking of a melody in my head. And then she started singing and I like turned it off because I was like, no, I like the thing I just came up with and it's very different. And then I went home and basically wrote like 60% of the song sort of then and there. And the sort of like larger things that were happening in my life when that fateful moment listening to Ariana Grande happened was that I have talked to my friend about this since, and she swears that I'm making it up, but I thought that I had this friend who I worked with at a magazine in town called Adbusters, and maybe she was working there after I left, but in any case, it's like an anarchist arts and culture publication, and I was there as an editor. She was, I think, also there as an editor in some capacity, and I was visiting her at work one day after I'd left, and she was like telling me about this guy she met on Tinder, and we started talking, and she was like, yeah, I lined up like 7 Tinder dates in 7 days. I just like wanted to just meet somebody and I just didn't have patience. And I was like, oh my god, that's a good idea, and your boyfriend is so hot and I'm gonna do that. Like, I just didn't know that Tinder had men like that on it, and if I'd known, I would have been on Tinder this whole time. And so she says that never happened and she never did that, and I was like, I don't think I just made that up. But anyway, I set up like 7 Tinder dates over 7 days. There was one day where I had 3 Tinder dates in one day. I like went for drinks with this girl, and then I went for like a walk with this guy, and then another thing with a guy. And by the end of the day, I was like, okay, so this is actually exhausting. Not that fun. I'm just way too all or nothing about everything in my life. I think that day, my last date was with this guy who was like, fine. He was nice. It was at the end of a very long day. So I feel like I was like, maybe my standards were like a little more worn down than they would have been. And it was fun. We made plans to see each other again. The next day I had set up another Tinder date with somebody else, a fourth person. So I went out with this person and it was like an amazing first date. Like, to this day, one of the best first dates I've ever had. Specifically, there was this moment where we were on this date and my hands were cold, and he like ordered hot water for me in a very like, it wasn't controlling or like intense, being like, I know what's best for you. It was just like so considerate. And I can tell by your face that you also would have been moved by this. I was just like, wait, what? Like, it was just so kind. And I guess I was thinking about it and I was like, that doesn't feel like that grand of a gesture. Like, is my bar really this low that like somebody did something that was like basic consideration? And I was like, what? That's so nice and kind. You're so special. And it sort of just made me realize in general that I had been dating people who just weren't nice to me and that I just liked dating boys who treat me bad. And then I would like write a song about how mean they are to me and be like, meh. Why can't I meet someone nice? And I just had this like moment of clarity where I was like, oh, because I'm like choosing people who don't treat me well. So thanks to this person who helped me see that I was like kind of creating this reality for myself. And yeah, so that was sort of the context when I wrote this song. And I was, I think, on my way back from Lululemon or something, like in between having met this person, agreed to see him a second time, and having met this other person who treated me really, really well. And I just, the song was sort of about like, I guess the contrast between those two things and just like how crazy it is to be out with somebody who's considerate and nice. And then sort of being like, why am I going on a date with this other person who isn't like that? But then I just went anyway, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so that's what the song was about. That's where it came from. And so much detail, probably more than you ever wanted to know.
No, that's probably one of the best stories I've heard in a song. I love that. That's so funny. I have so many, like, throughout the thing, I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my God.
That's so many twists and turns.
So currently chatting with Kenzie Cates about the inspiration of her latest single, Just Ain't You. And here it is, Just Ain't You by Kenzie Cates.
Water, and it's been a hot summer. Tell me, when did you come here? Do you think you'll stay? I'm a little bit rusty, but you don't seem to mind it. You let me do the talking, and I let you pay. It's so fucking good to be treated like one or nothing like he did. He'll be here in a minute. Ooh, he's touching my head, feeling my glass, but he just ain't you, boy. Ooh, he treat me alright, guess I feel fine, but he got no clue, boy. It's so fucking good to be treated like, oh no, he doesn't see it. Ooh, he's making his move, but it just won't do, cause he just ain't you, boy. Just ain't you, boy. Ooh, he treat me alright. Guess I feel fine, but he got no clue, boy. It's so fucking good to be treated like, oh no, he doesn't see it. Ooh, he's making his move, but it just won't do, cause he just ain't you, boy. No, he just ain't you, boy.
7 dates, 7 days. Can I ask which one was the worst?
That's such a funny question. Yes. What was the worst one out of all of those? Okay, well, there was one. It wasn't like a bad date exactly, but I went out with this girl, and I feel like a thing that I've learned about dating women instead of men, and I don't think any of this is like biological in nature. I think just the way that women are socialized versus how men are socialized is like when you have a bad date with a guy, in my experience, it like feels bad. Like it's like you have to work really hard to like carry the conversation. And like if you're not connecting, like I always feel the responsibility to like make it feel fun or like comfortable for us both. And it wasn't, it again, wasn't really until I went out with a woman who was like doing the same thing that I realized that it's like almost a little bit harder to judge how well a date is going because you're with somebody who is similar in terms of like taking social responsibility for like orchestrating the event. Like I feel like there's like something very specific to like women's labor in that that's like a role we often play in social scenarios. And so it was like harder to tell whether or not we were actually connecting because I feel like women are more proficient at like compensating for not connecting, if that makes sense, and like making it feel smooth and fun. So I went out with this woman and I was like, okay, that was like the best date I've ever had, but like we actually didn't connect at all. And it's just that like I think women are just like a little bit more socially adept than men are in a lot of ways, which I mean, I also know that's not binary, and I know that I'm making a lot of generalizations and that it's a lot more complicated than that. But it's something that I've experienced enough times now where I'm like, okay, I do think that for whatever reason, women are just socialized to carry the convo when things aren't like flowing, if that makes sense. So I feel like that was maybe the weirdest date, which is actually a different answer than the question you asked, but
we appreciate all answers. Yeah. And so you mentioned that this was kind of like spiritually your first single. I was wondering if you could like elaborate on that a little bit more, explain that.
Yes. It's sort of related to what I was saying earlier, where I think my first single did not really feel like me. I didn't really want to be putting it out, but I like felt locked in for a number of reasons, none of which were really anybody's fault except for mine. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I didn't really know myself that well as an artist or as a person at that time. And I feel like I did a lot of deferring to other people to like tell me what to do and didn't really trust my own instincts. And so I didn't want to release it, but I didn't trust that sense of like hesitation. And I just like overwrote it because everybody around me was telling me that I should do it. And I feel like with this single, it was like the opposite, where sort of like I was really precise with everything about it. Yeah, everything about it. Like I sort of met with and tried experimenting with so many different producers before I finally met Will McBeath, who was the producer on this track. And before it finally like clicked, and I was really, even with like the press images that I used, like Santiago De Hoyos is the photographer who did it here in Vancouver, who, and I love his work so much. And he's also just like one of the best people I've ever met. And I was like, even with the details down to like photography, I was like, I don't want to just work with any person. Like I want to work with somebody whose work I love and feel passionate about. And he was so talented and so kind and like generous with me with the shoot. And the same thing with like the graphic design. Last time I kind of like let somebody who I was working with like decide, and I was just like, okay, like I don't really have an opinion about this. And this time I was like, I'm doing it with this person, Pierre, who I know, Pierre Gagné is his name. And I was like, I love his graphic design and I only want to do it with him. Or like, you know, like it's just every sort of detail of the release I was like so involved with, and I wasn't willing to compromise in terms of my own instincts in the same way as I was with the first one. And so I feel like for that reason, it just like this one, like the first thing that came out, like so little of it was me. Like I had so little vote in terms of like the production and the album art and even the photography, like everything about it, I just like was very hands off. And this time it was the opposite. So it really felt like when the song was coming out, like this was like my song coming out. Like I have been so annoyingly to everyone trying to do their job involved in like every aspect of the release, from the like font choice to the chord shape, we like which chords were being used in the production of the song and which like voicings of the chords were being used in the production of the song. So that sort of, it feels more thoroughly like me in a way that feels like more like a truer version of myself debuting than when I released Black Magic back in 2019 or whenever that was.
Take what you've learned in the production, in the making of Just Ain't You, and apply that to like future work. Like, what's next? Do you have any upcoming plans?
I do, and that's a great question for me to reflect on in general, because I don't want to like forget the very like hard won lessons over the last few years. I have a few things planned. I'm applying for a Factor grant, so provided that pans out, which you never know with Factor, I have some plans. I'm working with Ryan Stewart again, who I finished writing the song with and who did the demo actually for the song that I then brought to Will to do a couple of songs together. Will and I have been working on stuff as well. We have a couple of demos. We're meeting in a few weeks to kind of come up with a plan. And then I have another producer in New York who I think is, I never remember the order of his Instagram name. It's either like Baby Boy Blue or Boy Baby Blue or Blue Boy Baby. I don't know. But he's a producer that we have a track that's like totally done and ready to release. He's an amazing guy. I really love working with him. So I have a couple of like my fingers in a couple different pies in terms of music release. And I think with all of them, I just feel like I've found my voice a little bit more, both in terms of like general direction, but also like when people ask me, like if they send me a mix and they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, actually, you're so talented, and like it's, but it doesn't feel like me, or like something about this isn't quite the right feel for what I want. And that was something that was like, I would never have said that like 2 years ago. I would just be like, okay, whatever you think, thanks, bye. And now I think I was just so afraid of people thinking I was like difficult or stubborn or something like that. And now I feel like I'm giving myself permission to be more expressive and like assert what I want. So I think that's the main thing. And I feel like there are a million different ways that will sort of come out, but especially in terms of like production is something that I just really value it. I feel like some people are kind of okay with deferring to other people's visions, and for me, I like really want to feel like I like it and feel excited about it. And like, this is something I would want to listen to if I wasn't the one making it. So I think that will sort of be the main place where I exercise this newfound muscle of like self-assuredness. And I mean, I don't actually know if I'm assured, but at least like, what's the word for that? Like self-determination.
Yes.
That's the one.
We got there. Well, you got there.
I needed your moral support.
That's me. Well, the best of luck with all of that. It's been really lovely getting to chat to you. So good luck with everything that's to come.
Thank you so much. This was such a fun interview. My face was like hurting from smiling.
Never.
We just heard Summer's Almost Gone by Mother. It was great getting to chat to Kenzie Cates. Make sure to check out her latest single, Just Ain't You. A lot of fun, and definitely echoing that cheeks hurting because of how much I was smiling during the interview feeling. Keeping on that end of summer, even though we're only in the middle of it, theme, here is End of the Lost Summer by Gabe Lopez. 'Cause it's the end of the lost summer. It's like we spent it all at home. And most of it here on the fucking bummer. It's like we mostly were alone.
The whole year felt like August. The one right after senior year. When everybody goes away. And just a couple friends come here. Safety in numbers, yeah. And there's not much to do. And we're all just like faded colors, yeah. Disappearing in blue. 'Cause it's the end of the last summer. It's like we spent it all at home. And wasn't this year on a fucking bummer? It's like we mostly were. Feels like the start of autumn. It's creeping in to steal away the summer that we never had. We never got to spend those days. But there was a lot of reflection, yeah. Lots of apologies. A message was from all my exes. Lots of I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's the end of the last summer. It's like we spent it all at home. And wasn't this year on a fucking bummer? It's like we mostly were alone. Feeling the end of the last summer. All of the calendars X'd out. Now it's the end of the last summer. One to remember, one to forget forever. Step out of bed so we can't pay the bills. Do it all over again up until you're near in the end. Fuck, I just want my friends. And we got a president, hell but I'm ruling. Yeah, my parents are teaching 'cause we got homeschooling. Yeah, but maybe you don't see the big scene. Just go back to watching TV. All the year has been a hot mess. Hands up if you are depressed yet. 'Cause it's the end of the last summer. It's like we spent it all at home. And wasn't this year on a fucking bummer? It's like we mostly were alone. Feeling the end of the last summer. All of the calendars X'd out. Now it's the end of the last summer. One to remember, one to forget. One right after senior year. When everybody goes away. And just a couple friends right here.
Lots of lovely music coming up next on the show. First, we have a song that's very recently released by CITR's very own and Vancouver local musician Jasper Sloan Yip. Here is Gin Fizz.
Thank you. And rattle around the void, shimmering light, mingling with your whispered voice. Our skin aglow on the beach in the warm and white. I can't recall ever having a better time. Shivering stars, hits and
we just heard Angel by Christina Jewell, and up next we have Kylie Rothfield with Ghost and USS with Medicine.
Oh, I never know if I'm gonna drown in the emptiness of crowded towns like this, but I can't blame Los Angeles. We all make mistakes we can't fix with time, and we fight for love. Tell me what we're fighting for, and don't you blame it on New York. Are you out there looking for me, like a Cinderella story, in a city full of ghosts? You're still the only one that haunts me. Did you ever really want me? Or were you only feeling lonely? You're a city full of ghosts. You're still the only one that haunts me. I've been moving on, even though it kills me. I could let you go, I could try to wish you well, but I can't change the way it felt.
Single word you say. Oh, I finally medicine. Taste of my own medicine. A monster face to face. I got a taste of my own medicine.
Taste of my own medicine. Taste of my own medicine. Help me, Thomas Edison. You've been locked out for days. Taste of my own medicine. Today.
One last song for you here today on La Bonne Heure with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM. We have Safe by Mark Velasius and Karina Jane. I hope you enjoy it and I hope you enjoyed today's show. See you soon. Bye.
I could share how I feel, but I think we both know that it's real. And silence says it all. I should care for what I say, but I think you can tell that I'm real, 'cause words won't catch you if you fall. Would have known we'd end up here after all the years of searching through land where the flowers don't grow. Like a dream that came to pass, you were standing there in front of me, a reality I never thought I'd know.
We everybody. Welcome to Orange Grove Radio. I'm your host, Jenna Marie. And as always, we're here to bring you the latest and greatest.